B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
My guest today is guitar phenom Nita Strauss. She's about to head back out on the tour trail in support of her solo record, Controlled Chaos, which came out in 2018. I had to ask her, looking back on it now, if this is the record she really wanted to make.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I'm very, very proud and very pleased with how it came out.
Of course, many of you guys know her as one of the guitarists for Alice Cooper's band. She filled me in on some Alice Cooper stories as well.
Oh my gosh. That snake is massive. I can remember meeting the snake for the first time. Our snake now is named Julius Squeezer.
There's more about that snake and other ones as well. Plus, I took some listener questions. Somebody wanted to know what advice she would give young guitarists.
First of all, be ready to have doors slammed in your face because it is not easy.
That's just the first tip. We talked about her chance to jam with Metal Allegiance this past week, the tour coming up with Alice Cooper and Hailstorm, and tons more. Nita Strauss is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Nita Strauss coming up here for you in just a couple, and then Al Beck afterwards with rock news, and we talk about Tool jamming a couple new songs on their latest gig. A special guest appearing at the Ronnie James Dio ride over the weekend. Ghost putting out some new merch, and Nikki Sixx recovering from surgery. And we'll touch on all those stories coming up here for you in just a few minutes. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, thank you so much for listening to it. We had Duff McKagan on last week, the guys from Saliva. As I talk about Nita, Damon Johnson, as well as Dennis Dunaway, the original bass player, I should say, from the Alice Cooper group, has been on as well a couple weeks back. He was actually in studio telling some great old stories. So if you're an Alice Cooper fan, those might be two that you might want to definitely check out. In the meantime, Nita's out there, performing her solo stuff after coming off a massive gig with Alice Cooper this past weekend, which we do talk about. But she's got this new record out called Controlled Chaos. Came out in 2018. It's her solo record. And she definitely rips on the guitar, kind of in the same vein as like an Yngwie, Steve Vai, kind of stuff like that. So if you get a chance, definitely check that out. And like I said, going out on tour, doing some solo dates with not only her band, but also with Chris Jericho and Fozzy on some of the dates. In the meantime, Nita was supposed to call at noon, right on time. There she was. Great conversation today with Nita Strauss on Talkin' Rock. Hey, first of all, man, I see that you have so many projects going on. It's like, you know, what kind of sorcery do you use to control your schedule?
If you find out about any sorcery, please let me know because I desperately need some. I actually have another thing launching in the next couple of days, which we're just all like, we're really, really excited about, but it is turning into a lot. But you know, you worked your whole life to get to be this busy. So I'm just very, very happy and excited that I have so much going on.
Yeah. So can you tell us what you got launching in a few days or no?
Not yet. Okay. Not just yet. We're still working out a couple of the kinks, but if you guys stay tuned to my social medias, I'm Hurricane Nita on the Instagram and the Twitter, Nita Strauss on Facebook. I'll be announcing everything probably tomorrow, if not tomorrow, by Wednesday.
Now, over the weekend, you played with Alice, what was that, for like 80, 85,000 people or something like that?
Yes, exactly.
Man, that's unbelievable. You're going to go on your own solo tour and you're going to play to clubs and theaters and different things like that with Fozzy and whatnot. I mean, talk about the dichotomy of playing both those stages.
It's definitely different. You know, that's probably the question I get asked the most in my VIP meet and greets and clinics. They always want to know, what do you like playing better? Do you like playing, you know, the huge stadium shows or the more intimate club shows? And it's really apples and oranges. You can't pick one. You know, they're both, you know, when you're playing in front of 85,000 people, you can't really pick out an individual in the crowd to focus on. And I feel like giving the crowd the best show you possibly can, that's the most important thing. So if I'm playing to, you know, a club crowd, you know, 300, 400, 500 people, I can see the people in the front row and I can interact with them and I can, you know, hit them in the face with guitar picks, and all that fun stuff. And you know, when there's 85,000 people and they're 20 feet away from the stage, you know, held back by a barricade, it's not very personal. So they're both amazing in their own way, but I'm beyond excited to get out on the road and, you know, play the club shows and play my own stuff.
Right. Now, it's funny, yeah, because the bigger the crowd, it almost becomes like kind of faceless. I got to go on stage before Metallica when they were here a couple years ago, and it was like 40,000 people, and I don't know, I don't remember seeing one face out there, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. It's really difficult because even if you find somebody like, you know, if you've ever seen any of my shows, you know, I'm a crowd person. I know I'm fully aware that without the fans and the support of everybody coming to the shows, there would be no show. And I try to give everybody as much individual attention as I can when I'm, you know, even mid song, I'm interacting with people, I'm tossing pics, I'm laughing, you know, taking selfies and all that kind of stuff. Well, their selfies on their phone, not my phone.
Right.
You know, but that's the beauty of it. That's kind of the beauty of the club show, is that you get those individual personal moments with people. And I love that.
Now, the record's been out for a few months, and I was working out to it today. I've had it for a few months myself. And is this looking back on it now, is this the record that you wanted to make?
Thank you so much, first of all, for saying that. I love that it's your workout music, because workout music is everything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I'm very, very proud and very pleased with how it came out. And for it to make a statement the way that it did, you know, for Controlled Chaos to debut in the top 10 of the iTunes rock charts, you know, we debuted behind Queen and Chris Cornell, you know, so it's not like we were just, you know, hidden away in the back of the instrumental metal category. You know, we were up there in the forefront. You know, we debuted in the big Billboard Top 200. So it was just amazing to see that people in 2019 or 2018, rather, when it came out, but in this day and age, really care about hearing an instrumental guitar record. And it meant everything to me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what did the has the boss Alice heard the record yet?
I don't know. I feel like he must have at least listened to the single. You know, when we were in Mexico just now, I haven't seen anybody. You know, the band had 6 months off, so I haven't seen anybody in the band since October. And then when we got into Mexico, it was just really like, okay, rehearse, you know, jump on stage. So there wasn't a whole lot of time to catch up and, you know, hear about everybody's tour and how everything was going. So I'm sure we're going to do that in July when we get back on the road.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember if I asked you about this last time I talked to you, but have you seen the Hired Gun documentary, right?
Of course.
Yeah. And, you know, it's got to be proud for you when Alice is up there. And I was thinking about this over the weekend when he's talking about, you know, he gets the best of the best. And here you are in his band.
Well, I was in that documentary with him.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, Alice has his choice of who he can pick. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
yeah,
you know, I just remember that quote from Alice. You know, I know that you were in the documentary and a lot of other guys and stuff, but I was just thinking about that over the weekend. It's pretty high praise from Alice.
The hugest. I think what he said was, I don't have time for B-list players.
That's right.
I only pick A-list players. And to, you know, to have Alice say that and be somewhat indirectly talking about the band he has now is a huge honor. And the Hired Gun experience was crazy. I mean, you know, to be up there and sort of be one of the only females featured in the documentary. And it was even the thumbnail on Netflix. If you scroll down and look for the Hired Gun documentary, it was me and Alice on the cover. So it was pretty surreal.
Yeah, so I guess that's a stupid question if you've seen it. So
I did see it, yes.
Yeah, actually, I haven't seen it since it came out. I actually saw it the one night it premiered. I saw it in the theater on a Thursday night here in Detroit because I wanted to see it so bad. So
I in the theater too, actually. It was cool.
Yeah, I should go back and revisit it for sure. So, of course, you got dates coming up, your solo dates and whatnot, and your shows with Fozzy and that. And then you hit the summer tour trail again with Alice and your friend Lizzie Hale.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a busy year for sure. I'm so excited. I got back from Mexico late last night, leaving for my tour on Thursday morning. And we're just going to hit the ground running nonstop. And we start in Charlotte, and we go through June 22nd in Houston. And we're going to be there with you guys in Detroit on May 24th at the Token Lounge, which I'm very excited about because Detroit is Alice Cooper town.
Right.
It's always great for us to be there.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've had a lot of Alice Cooper bandmates on my show in the last couple of weeks. So 2 weeks ago, I had Damon Johnson on, who I love. And then Dennis Dunaway. Yeah, Dennis Dunaway was in the studio with me a couple weeks back. Have you seen Live from the AstroTurf yet?
I have not seen it yet. I actually just saw Dennis post about it yesterday when I was at the airport, and I was like, oh, I have to go see this.
Yeah. So anyways, I asked both of them, and they all have like A-list stories and whatnot. But I asked them about like mishaps on stage. And Dennis talked about the cannon they tried using one time, and they put a dummy A-list in there, and it didn't work very well. And Damon Johnson said the first time, I think he was playing Is It My Body, and A-list was next to him on the stage, and no one told him he was going to have the snake wrapped around him, and he almost hyperventilated right on stage. But I mean, give me a moment like that with A-list for you.
Oh my gosh. That snake is massive. I can remember meeting the snake for the first time. Our snake now is named Julius Squeezer. He's a character. They've always got, we had Boa Derek before Barack Oboa. So the snake's always got a good dad joke for a name. You know, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of what a good mishap would be, because since I've been in the band, it's such a tightly run ship.
Right.
There's not really, you know, there's not really a lot of mistakes on stage. They've really got it all dialed in. But I think maybe the funniest thing that's happened since my time in the band is, if you guys have seen the Alice Cooper show in the last several years, you know, there's all these bubbles on the stage during School's Out.
Yeah.
And, you know, School's Out's the last song of the show. So that's, you know, I guess they thought it was okay to just make the stage extremely slippery because we're about to be done anyway. But when you're running around the way that I do on stage, you can't have, you know, like, it doesn't matter if you have some traction on your shoes or not. If you're slipping, you know, if you guys have ever played with bubbles, you know how slippery and sticky the bubble goo is. So I fell down on stage so many times from the time they started to do that, you know, just from sprinting across the stage and slipping on the bubbles, that they now have had to carpet the whole stage. It happened enough times that Alice himself went to production and said, what do we have to do? Because she's going to lose an eye.
So they got the carpet just for you.
They got the carpet just for me. And I don't think it's so much about my clumsiness, but maybe it is. But it is much safer, and I'm glad that they did it. And
yeah.
I guess, in hindsight, I could have just toned down the stage show a little bit, but I don't think that's what anybody wanted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, you're definitely energetic up there on stage. You know, you did that thing with the WWE, and how did you see your profile go up from that appearance?
At WrestleMania?
Yeah.
It was amazing. You know, as a longtime wrestling fan myself, you know, I think that the WWE universe really sort of accepted me with open arms because they know a real fan when they see one. You know, it's not like I'm just up there going through the motions. Like, I know so well what it means to be at WrestleMania, and I was so honored to participate in it. And then again, to play with Lizzie a couple months later at Evolution was just the cherry on the cake. So it's been amazing, and I hope to do more with them in the future.
And I see recently you got to play with my friend David Elfson and a bunch of guys, Metal Allegiance as well, eh?
Oh my gosh, so fun. I played on the latest Metal Allegiance record, actually. I did a guest solo with them, so to get to actually jam with them on stage was a blast.
Yeah, like I said, you need some sort of sorcery to get your schedule figured out here, right?
I was just thinking about the way we started this conversation when I said that. I was like, gosh, I have had a lot going on, haven't I?
Yeah, and then you got, like, did you just recently start up a Nita Strauss Incorporated?
No, that's been my business name for a long time.
Okay. So do you ever think that to yourself that, man, maybe, you know, one day you could just play guitar and not like be like all things?
Sometimes, of course, you know, like it is a lot. And I would never lie to any of you guys out there listening and say that it's not a lot to deal with. But, you know, again, you work your whole life to be this busy. You know, every guitar player, or most young guitar players, you know, practice hard and work and play, you know, tiny shows for no money, just like I did for so many years, in order to be able to be this busy. So I'm just really, really grateful and really thankful. And I do get to do an awful lot of guitar playing. So it's not all the business side. Although the business side is a lot.
I know Josh takes care of a lot of that stuff. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah. No, he's amazing. You know, it's all about having the right people around you. And Josh and I have been a team of two for a very long time. And we, you know, he by himself does the job of 10 people, you know, in Nita Strauss Inc. And so I'm so lucky to have, you know, a partner in my life that I can play a lot of guitar because he handles so much of it for me.
Now, you started out like playing like in clubs in Los Angeles. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been to Los Angeles a few times, and that's like, you know, that's like a different planet from the rest of America. Do you ever find yourself kind of surprised by how the rest of America is? Well, like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe. It's like when you watch The Dirt. You know what I'm saying? Like all that stuff took place like right there. You know, in Los Angeles. And then you know you go to Milwaukee or Detroit or Chicago or something. It's kind of like a different world. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah, it's, you know, the scene in LA is so competitive, and I credit that for, you know, being able to survive in this industry as long as I have, because I've been playing shows in the most competitive music scene in the world my whole life. You know, the best guitar players, the best singers, you know, the prettiest actresses, the, you know, most handsome guys that want to be models. Everybody comes from every single small town in the world to LA to try to make it in the industry. So to, you know, to sort of come up in that scene with the best of the best and always have to have yourself held to that highest standard, I think it made me better than I would have otherwise.
Yeah, so I can't remember if Gene Simmons told me this or whatever. He goes, you could be a success on the, you know, the West Coast, the East Coast and whatnot, but until you make it in the heartland, in the Midwest and stuff, it's like it's not really, you know, it's really hard to make it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's easy to be well known in your own backyard. Yeah, and the internet helps with that. I'm very, very active on social media. I do all my social media myself. There's no social media manager doing the posts or doing the comments for me. And that means a lot, I think, to people, you know, knowing that I'm actually here, you know, in LA or in Mexico or wherever I'm at, responding to their comments, you know, telling them what time VIP is going to be, and, you know, being there and doing it in person, I think really creates that connection.
Right. Speaking of social media, I did put out some questions. You know, I asked some of my social media followers what they would, you know, ask you or whatnot. One guy brought up Johann Strauss. Are you related to him? I guess he's an old an Australian composer. Is that right?
Austrian, but
Austrian,
yes.
Yeah. Austrian. There you go. So you're related to him?
Yes, on my dad's side.
Okay, gotcha.
So Strauss is my actual last name.
Okay, I wasn't sure if, you know, what the deal was with that, but yeah, so that is true, because some guy did post it on my Facebook and stuff. Someone just tweeted to me, they wanted to know, like, when you join a group like Alice Cooper, how long do they give you to, like, learn the songs?
It's always different. I've been a hired guitar player most of my life, as you guys probably saw from the documentary, and sometimes you get a month, sometimes you get a week, sometimes you get a couple days. You know, I know, like, Josh, when he got a big gig playing drums, he's, you know, he always tells me the story of how he had to learn 35 songs on the plane to go to the first show and play the first show with no rehearsal. So it's always different. You know, with Alice specifically, I had about 2 weeks to learn the set, and I flew in to start the tour on a Monday. So I arrived on Monday, met the band on Tuesday, we rehearsed Wednesday and Thursday, and the first show was on Friday.
And with Alice, you're not just learning songs. You're probably learning cues and different things and where to be during all those songs, aren't you?
Yes and no. You know, it's, our show looks very choreographed, but it's largely because we just have really good chemistry as a band. You know, we're not necessarily going like, okay, now you take a step with your right foot and I'll take a step with my left foot and then da-da-da-da. And, you know, it's not quite as planned out as it seems, you know, but of course there are cues to learn. You know, there's the Frankenstein, you know, there's the, you know, the guillotine and the monsters that come out. And the main thing is just spatial awareness. You know, the reason why our show looks so choreographed is because we all have eyes on Alice and each other all the time. And so if he takes a step forward, we take a step back. If he takes a step to the left, we take a step to the right. And that's what creates that flow of the show. And there's not just these empty holes on the stage and people on the left side of the audience are going, there's nobody over by us. You know, we try to create this really balanced stage at all times.
Somebody wanted to know, and I think you've probably answered this question a lot, but what would be your best advice for young girls and women starting out, you know, learning guitar that have ambition to, you know, make it big time?
So much advice. And really, honestly, my advice is the same for young girls and young guys and anybody of any age that wants to succeed in the music industry. And that is, first of all, be ready to have doors slammed in your face, because it is not easy. You know, you guys have heard, you know, of the big bands I've played with, but what you guys haven't heard about is the hundreds of bands that I auditioned for and didn't get into. You know, you're going to face rejection. You're going to, you know, have people not want to book your band. You're going to, you know, face people talking down to you, whether it's because of your gender or where you're from or your level of experience. So So just don't get bogged down in that stuff. Just always keep in mind what's the most important thing, and that's having fun and playing your instrument.
And I'm assuming your parents really had your back, didn't they?
My parents were super supportive. I was really, really, really lucky.
Somebody asked, how long did it take for it to set in that when you look to your right or left or whatever, the legendary Alice Cooper is on stage with you?
It still trips me out a lot of the time. So it's almost my 5-year anniversary in the band, and it still trips me out. Like, I still look over there and I go, that is Alice freaking Cooper. I mean, it's as amazing for me now as it was the very first day. And I actually, when I was playing in LA, one of the bands I played in was a cover band, and we played like sort of 80s rock songs like Bon Jovi and Aerosmith. And we used to play Poison by Alice Cooper. And the first time I played Poison on stage with Alice, I looked over, you know, to my right, because I'm on stage left, so it's generally looking to the right to see Alice. And I got tears in my eyes. Like, I wasn't crying, but I got real tears in my eyes thinking, like, everything has led to this moment. Everything that I worked so hard for has gotten me here, and it was all worth it. So it's really, truly an honor, and one that I don't take for granted.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because some people tend to get jaded a little bit, but it sounds like that's not your MO.
The polar opposite.
Yeah.
The absolute opposite, you know. And when we were in Mexico City a couple of days ago, I just, you know, Alice's manager, Sean Gordon, was there, and Alice and his wife, and you know, I made a point to go up and give each of them a hug and thank them for the opportunity, because even 5 years in, it's just really a privilege to get to be in this band.
Yeah, it is really cool, you know, when you think about Alice, and for whatever reason, and I don't know, just the kind of worlds have aligned, but like I said, I had Damon Johnson and Dennis Dunaway, and now I got you on within like a month. You guys have like this Alice Cooper community almost of all these years of and decades of playing with Alice.
What's the cool thing about Alice, man? Like, he gives people a chance. He gives musicians a chance. He doesn't just go like, oh, let me get, you know, these session players that are already established. He gives young musicians a chance, and that's pretty special.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Nita, looking forward to seeing the solo show coming up here the 24th of May, like you said, in Detroit here at the Token Lounge, and of course, July 20th in Detroit here as far as the tour with Hailstorm. Last time I saw you, I'm trying to remember where it was the last time I saw you. I know that you played the Love and Touch here, and I saw you at Rock in the Range a couple years ago, and I got to hang for a few minutes, but man, it's always exciting to see a killer guitar player right there in front of you, and please don't hit me in the face with any guitar picks, okay?
I'll try. I'll aim for the chest.
yeah, aim for the chest. There you go. Hey, thanks so much for your time, and good luck on the tour and stuff, and the Controlled Chaos record is killer, and we'll see you here in a few weeks.
Thank you so much, Steven.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Have you ever seen Nita Strauss play? Have you ever seen her play with Alice Cooper or anything?
No, I have not.
Yeah, she's great, man. She can really shred. As a matter of fact, from the understanding that I have, is that Kip Winger kind of tipped Alice off to her.
Oh, and, no kidding.
Yeah, that's the understanding I have. But what a stupid question. Did she ever see The Hired Guns? Of course she did. She was in it. But, you know.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it 2 years ago. That's the problem. And my brain can only handle so many things.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the thing I watched over the weekend.
Dude, I got to be honest. Sometimes I go to bed and I'm like, what was I watching last night going to bed? I can't remember.
This is why I stopped watching Game of Thrones. I couldn't follow it from week to week, and it was just too much stuff. I'm out. I'm done.
So anyways, if anybody gets a chance to watch that Hired Guns documentary, that's on, I think it's just called Hired Gun. It's on Netflix, and I should actually revisit it once and check it out. It was, I saw it in the theater, like I said, that just the one day, it debuted like on a Thursday or something across the country, and then it went to streaming services or whatnot. But it was pretty interesting and actually kind of heartbreaking at certain points, like when, you know, what's his name, Billy Joel, like, pretty much just fired his whole band. They were with him for like 30 years, and all of a sudden they're like all gone. So it's definitely worth the watch, especially if you're a music fan and you're a fan of Nita Strauss. But anyways, if you're a fan of El Beck, well, I pity you, but he's here, and he's yeah, got your...
make better choices.
Yeah, right. Do something better with your life, for God's sake. So he's here with the rock news, and big news as far as rock over the weekend is that the guys from Tool played a couple new songs.
That's
on
right.
their set, huh?
Dude, they were out doing one of their festival shows, and they obviously been teasing this new music, and you know it's been in the works for about 20 years
right.
at this point.
Actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the anniversary of the day it came out just passed, and I want to say 13 years or something like that?
Yeah, I think 13 years of the last album they did, 10,000 Days.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think 13 years is the time, but you know they've been putting stuff out on Twitter. There's a hashtag Tool 2019, but yeah, at a recent festival, they debuted two new songs, one called Descending, the other called Invincible. Now, as far as we know, these are the only versions that are out there. Of course, there's videos up on YouTube. Maybe head to your radio station or website to give it a watch, but... They got the two songs. There aren't studio versions available yet.
Do you have any idea how... Well, of course, there's no studio versions, but do you have any idea how long they are?
The songs?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, according to this video, it's 12 minutes and 24 seconds, the video, and the other one's about 12 and a half minutes. That's a little bit of preamble, you know, like leading up to the song, but yeah, so about 12 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
Which is, that's Tool.
That's cool. Now, that was where...
I'm sorry.
I'm not allowed to ask questions.
Rockville.
Just let him talk and yes, just keep him going. So, anyways, yes, that's cool. So we'll see what happens. So you're saying now that, and speaking of Tool, by the way, streaming, they're going to be streaming.
Yes. And it was Rockville Festival in Jackson, Florida okay. over the weekend, by okay. the way. But this again, isn't confirmed. It's more Tool weirdness. It looks like they may be coming to streaming services, you know, like your Apple Music, your Spotify, stuff like that. They, to date, have not been streaming. They're one of those last big bands that have been holding out on it.
Uh-huh.
The hint that came up was if you go to Apple Music or Spotify now, they do have a band profile on there now. Still don't have music, at least last time I checked. They don't have music posted there yet. But it looks like that may happen. Maybe you'll get to go back and relive some of those on streaming services. I know you're not really a streamer. You like a vinyl.
Yeah, I like to hold it in my hands. Even that Nita Strauss record that I was talking about, it's like, just put it on and let it roll.
I do like having access to whatever, wherever. So, is it coming? Don't know for sure, but maybe.
So Dave Grohl was at this Ronnie James Dio ride they do over the weekend. They do this every year.
Yeah.
It's raised
fourth or fifth annual this year.
Yeah, it's raised money for like cancer awareness and different things like that. So I guess Dave Grohl decided to show up.
Yeah, he made a surprise appearance, even jumped up on stage and did a couple of covers, did a Thin Lizzy song, Jailbreak, and also did Motorhead's Bomber.
Of course.
And again, footage of this is available online if you want to check it out.
Yeah, Dave Grohl never wanted to shy away from the camera or the microphone.
No, busy dude. I know he's working on a documentary again now, so.
I know, and then there's something about with Belinda Carlisle. Was she in the Go-Go's or something? I can't even remember. She was in one of those all-female bands.
Yeah.
So, anyways. We'll move on. Nikki Sixx, I guess, is recovering from some surgery he had over the weekend or last week or whatever. But he did post a picture inside his... hospital room.
All of our rock stars are falling apart.
They're
right
falling
now.
Apart. Yeah,
seems
that's
like
right.
Nikki Sixx had a shoulder separation tear. Had to go under some rotator cuff surgery, and he's fine. He did post a couple of pictures actually on his Instagram from the hospital room. He's in a sling. He's only got the one arm right now, but those photos are also up online. You can find them on the radio station website as well.
Yeah, they're all over the place. And, that's good timing, I guess, for a Nikki. Not much going on. I wonder what's going on with 6 a.m., by the way. It seems like those guys would be doing something, DJ Ashba on that. But I don't know. We'll have to see if we can figure out what's going on between those guys. But hopefully Nikki's back on the mend and back at it again real soon. And a final thing here for you. This is, it's actually kind of cool. I might have to get some of these ghost figures.
Yeah. We just talked earlier. Your main collection is vinyl. But a lot of people love figurines, sometimes it's comic book characters, whatever else. Ghost has, I think, three different figures right now, which are different versions of Tobias Forge as the front man, the Cardinal,
right.
Cardinal Copia or whatever.
Papa Emeritus,
and they've got three of them. 3,000 of each is it. and they're going to cost you about $150 per.
Huh, well, maybe I won't get them then.
But I think it's like you can get all three for $333. But they are available for pre-order right now. So if you're into figurines, there you go.
So all three for $333.
Yes.
That's interesting. All right, well, they do look really cool. How tall? Do you have any idea how big they are?
Oh, geez, with the follow-up questions.
Here we go, follow-up questions. I know. No. All right.
I don't know. Not off the top of my head.
All right. Al, are you done?
I'm so done.
Oh, my God.
So done.
This gets harder and harder every single time.
And you wonder why I wasn't on the last episode.
Exactly. I'm like, you know what? Duff McKagan and Rob Fenn, the photographer, they can just have the whole episode.
There you go.
As far as I'm concerned. So, anyways, there you go. There's your rock news you can use or not with Al Beck. And what's your socials?
Al Beck Radio, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
And also you can check him out at WBOS. What is that station? 92?
Rock 92.9. And you can find this podcast now at rock929rocks.com.
In Boston.
That's right.
There you go. So we're becoming worldwide.
That's right. I'm branching out.
All thanks to you. At Meltdown WRIF is my handle, at Talking Rock with One as well. And feel free to leave a voicemail if you'd like, 248-586-2988. If you've made it this far in the podcast, hey, feel free to give it a 5-star rating, write a review, and whatnot. And leave some feedback on the feedback line, 248-586-2988. You done, Al?
I'm done.
I'm done. Thanks for listening to Talking Rock with Meltdown. Until next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.